They say, well, you want me to invest in agriculture? Okay. My quarterly bonus depends on the performance of my fund every quarter. Can you make sure that we've got something to measure the performance of my investment in agriculture every quarter? And if it's not going well, I want to be able to get out of it each quarter or buy back into it each quarter to adjust my portfolio. Can you do that? And of course, when you start thinking in those terms, you realise how difficult it is to match what the reality of investment in agriculture is with how those super funds are judged and how they measure their performance. And I think the reason we're seeing a lot of overseas interest is, of course, firstly, that the opportunities available overseas are much more limited. If you've got real interest rates there that are negative, an agriculture sector here that might perhaps generate 3-4% per annum return on investment looks pretty attractive. So that's why I think we're seeing a lot of the overseas investment. And they also see it as a very stable and secure asset. They've got good governance around it. They know it'll be there when they come time to pay out. And they're also patient. They're happy to sit there for 15 to 20 years because that's when their members' annuities will have to be paid out. Whereas I think we've got a much more short-term reward-driven superannuation fund industry here that basically generates membership on the basis of their performance in the last quarterly tables. And I think that's one of the challenges. So from my perspective, the overseas investment is in fact not something that you feared, but something that's very important in providing that extra capital base. And also I think what we're seeing, but not appearing in the statistics, is a more diverse ownership structure, even within the families that own farms here in Australia. So rather than just the mother and father owning the farm and operating it, I think we're transitioning to a situation where there might be a diverse group of family members own some of the equity in that farm, and one or two of the members of the family operate it. So it's not obvious in the statistics, but I think we are seeing a more diverse ownership and capital structure evolve for family farms even that allows them to expand beyond what they would have been able to in any other situation.
Mick, if you look back over your career, what would you consider to be your greatest achievement in that career?
Oh, gosh, Sally, that's a pretty hard question. I think that's for others to judge. I certainly think the establishment of the Farm Institute was a quite significant step. We probably didn't realise the significance of it at the time. It basically meant that the agriculture sector had a research group that was focused just solely on the issues that are relevant to agriculture and being pretty objective about it, trying to put evidence on the table. And I think, as we've seen, farm sector organisations struggle for membership, not able to perhaps have the luxury of sitting down and thinking about some of this stuff longer term. I think the Farm Institute has come into its own, and hopefully the objective objectivity and work of the Institute around some of these issues has been useful to the sector. And that is perhaps what I'm most pleased about, and I hope that can continue into the future.
So then if I had to ask what's been the greatest challenge, it would almost have to be a similar thing, wouldn't it?
It would. I think the challenge is that when you get involved in policy areas in agricultures, in agriculture in Australia, the views are very diverse, and it's extremely difficult to get a coalition of interests all pointing in the one direction. We're all very independent. We're all used to operating our own bailiwicks inside the farm gate, and therefore don't find cooperation comes easily. And I think there's an awful lot of achievement available to the sector if there's a bit more cooperation. I think that's the ultimate frustration, that you can't get that cooperation without an enormous amount of effort, and that makes trying to achieve positive policy changes fairly difficult.
So, quick question, how do you achieve it without everybody involved having to compromise so radically that they don't achieve anything they want?
Well, I think the secret is to focus on the big picture, and I know that probably frustrates individuals who might want their particular issue dealt with. So to give you an example, it might come to an issue of a dispute about a fence with a neighbour. where two farmers will raise that issue as something of quite significance. Whereas when it comes to issues like discussing tax reform, it's very hard to get them interested. And I guess that's the all politics are local axiom all over again. And so I think getting a focus on the big picture issues, which most farmers would probably agree on, and then giving organisations the freedom to go and pursue that and not be caught up in the daily, day-to-day battles and minor issues, but really focus on that longer-term stuff. I think that's the real challenge. If you could do that, then we could make a lot of progress. And I to be honest, my observations of New Zealand are exactly that the organisations over there have the freedom to focus a bit more on the long-term strategic stuff, and they can actually make some progress there. And sure, it doesn't address those short-term irritants that always plague farmers, but ultimately everyone's better off in the long run.
Being January, is it still early enough in the year to be talking about what you'd like to see happen in 2015?
What I'd like to see happen, I'd like to see the dollar stay where it is or go a bit lower, because I think we've been remiss in forgetting that has had a big impact on the returns to the farm sector over the last decade. So I think that's going to give some much needed profitability back to the sector. The government's white paper has a number of issues in front of it. I guess drought policy, the issues around risk management and risk insurance, the issues around the promotion of the Australian brand in international markets and moving that into a quality position, the issues around drought preparedness and drought policy and incentives for that. So you would hope by the end of this year, we will see all those pretty much settled out of the road, and it'd be great if they were bipartisan supported as well, because I think that stable environment is really what agriculture needs. While there's uncertainty around that stuff, there's delays on investment, there's decisions deferred and not made, and I think getting to a position where everyone agrees, all right, this is the broad parameter of what we're going to work under for the next 10 or 15 years. Let's get on and do it rather than argue about politics. I think that would be a great way to end 2015.